to Sheep Farm and a weekly podcast. With me tonight, as usual, is Chris. Are you drinking a bottle of witch piss?
I've got a bottle of witch piss. I don't even know what it is.
It don't matter, do you? Creosote.
My missus bought it. It's a Chilean red. That's all I know.
You could paint your fence with it. Who cares?
To be fair, it's a decent one from Waitrose. It's better than what I usually buy. If my missus buys them, she usually gets me a better bottle than whatever.
French mouthwash.
Yeah. Chilean mouthwash.
Chilean mouthwash, sorry. Joining us tonight again is Matt Landman, direct from the USA. How are we doing, Matt?
Hi, everyone. I'm really happy to be on. Third time's a charm. I appreciate it.
Is it third time? I think it's fourth time, mate.
I think it's fourth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You need a new superlative.
I think so.
Yeah, fourth time.
See you again, Matt.
Nice. Yeah, I love chatting with you guys. It's always great.
Yeah. So before we start, Matt, can you tell everybody where they can get hold of you, etc.?
Oh, thanks. Yes. Hi, my name is Matt Landman. Please find me on social media, especially Facebook. I'm on there despite the censorship. And also, I made a movie. I made a movie, Frankenskies. And if you haven't seen it, it's important, especially in this day and age. Frankenskies is a documentary. It starts off in 1920 and goes through the whole historical chronology of weather engineering, weather modification history, chemtrails, geoengineering. You can't get 20 minutes into the movie without being educated and informed on the topic. So frankenskies.com is where you can find that for free and watch that for free. And then also I have the website actualactivists.com. That's my baby. It's a one-stop resource for a lot of truth and information and podcast hubs and movie recommendations and all that. And we're going to go over some movies today, which is great. And a lot of those are on there. And then also have an EMF silver clothing line called Spero, S-P-E-R-O. It's a Latin word. It stands for I hope or hope. And the website is spirogear.com. And also for your loyal listeners and for Christmas and all that, I have a coupon code. What's the name of your show? Sheep Farm. Bah. So I have a Sheep Farm code and I love doing the bah at the end of the show. And I love you guys. And please don't be a stranger. And even if you're just curious, check out the EMF protection clothing. For you, your friends, your family, your loved ones, pregnant people, all that sort of stuff. It's all happening, you know.
Pregnant people.
Yeah, pregnant women.
We've already been mind controlled.
Pardon me. Yeah, I'm already, dude. I get socially engineered. I'm socially engineered on social media, I've noticed, because there's certain words that I just don't even say anymore because I know that I'll lose my account for 30 days. I'll get slapped on the wrist. So I am a little bit... I hate to say it, but I have been refined slightly, you know, but I do stick to it and curse a lot still. So no big deal.
We're free from those chains tonight. We can break out from the in hour one. We're going to try and chat about 5G, ULEZ, a bit of climate as well. I want to get into this solar engineering stuff. We've been firing some emails over the last few weeks. And you sent us a good link today about structured water, and I've got a mate who actually sells structured water machines who we're going to try and get on the show as well.
Oh, really?
If you're listening, I watched that. Which you will be.
I watched that video you sent over, Matt, with the water woman. That was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
How was she getting the images? Anyway, just to say quickly, Matt sent us a video this morning, a website.
We are going to go into it, Chris, but you won't have written notes, will you?
No, I haven't. No. All right. I'll talk about it in a second. Didn't know you sent any notes.
They're on here on screen. Pour yourself a glass of wine.
It's true. I've had a long
chillax.
Chillax,
man. Anyway, in hour two, we're going to go through. We've been talking about doing this for at least a year, me, Chris, and Matt. Picking a couple of films out. Matt's picked a couple of films out that we're going to have a talk about. And hopefully, we'll have time to talk about a few. Producers, directors, and actors as well, who are pushing this virtue signaling.
This could break the seal into us film deep dives, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could. Yeah, because I think we should do a few more, Matt. I'd like to do a proper presentation of some nature on this, maybe a live one, because it probably is a bit YouTube friendly. Going back to his mind control.
Very much. And people love the topic because once you start to see the writing on the walls, you start to watch Hollywood media completely differently. You know, other people are sitting there like absorbing the media mind control, and you're pointing out every 10 minutes, you know, like that animation put in chemtrails. They didn't have to put in chemtrails in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. All that.
My favorite is to my missus. I'm just gonna get my camera, take a picture of that.
what did my son say, Chris?
Which one? His eldest with his grandson, his first grandson, Dom's first grandson, still a baby. This is what his son told me. Dom gets his phone out to take a picture. And he's like, oh, he's going to take a picture to keep. He aims it at the sky. He goes, look at them fucking chemtrails. That's taking pictures of. Yeah. Funny, slightly scary. And other things, whatever.
Yeah, slightly. Okay.
Your son rang me to tell me that story, by the way.
I know, yeah. You could see disappointment on his face.
Disappointed in his own father.
Which always pleases me. Disappointing your kids has got to be high on the agenda.
So you pull out your phone and he's sitting there all happy in a stroller and you point the phone at the sky instead of him.
Yeah.
Right? I love it.
Fucking chemtrail. Right, okay. Net zero equals no humans. We were having a chat before we came on about the roads that are being changed, especially around by me in this little rural town where I live in England, in Halifax. And they're spending about 250 million, you know, on a 3-4 year project to change the road. And me and my wife drive down this road and it does get a bit clogged up at tea time and in the morning, but it's not that bad. It's only a small town. And they're on about bypassing this because they say most of the traffic's going, wants to turn off left, and that's what they're clogging up. And I'm thinking, well, that goes into an even smaller town. And why would everybody want to go that way? And I mentioned that to you, didn't I, Matt? And what was your answer? Which
I've seen it a lot over here as well. I live in a pretty rural community, and I've got a lot of, well, I do a lot of traveling for my movie, especially. And I'm familiar with a lot of these very rural, isolated communities in Northern California. And what, just to give a slight tiny bit of background, there's not very many people in the States that can actually fend for themselves, think for themselves, and really be sustainable without, you know, bowing to the man and having to go clock in 9 to 5 and stuff like that. And those independent free thinkers are in the hills. You know, a lot of them are cannabis growers, whatever they are, they live on their own. And so they've been targeted. There's this Agenda 2030. In 2030, there's now a ban. So by 2030, you're not allowed to have or sell or own or whatever a diesel generator. These generators are used off grid to power people's homes and all this. They're banning diesel generators in the West Coast of the United States. Meanwhile, they're making these generators, the electric car vehicle charging stations. We can talk about that later. It's total hypocrisy. But these roads in the middle of nowhere, they're being widened and built up so that they are stable enough for big trucks. It looks like that they're making them so that tanks can roll through. I mean, if you look at the infrastructure projects and why they're spending this money now in certain places, and you have the, you know, conspiratorial mind to see forward, extrapolate where they're going with it and what's going on, it seems like that certain rural communities, they want to be able to roll in with their tanks. For what reason, I don't know. You know, maybe it's because there's going to be a quarantine, or maybe they just want to be able to roll in tanks in case Iran shows up. I don't know what, but it seems like the infrastructure is getting put into place for the agenda, you know, whatever it may be. But it looks like heavy artillery can now roll in all these tiny towns for no reason whatsoever. And the timing of it, they never wanted to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on these projects until right now. They're doing them right now, everywhere, scrambling to do them. And it's like when we got locked down in 2020, March 2020, all of a sudden these 5G towers are being put up overnight when everyone's in their homes. You know, people started to ask questions then, just like right now, we should start asking questions now.
You know, what's horrible about that, Matt? What sprang to my mind immediately was Waco. So they can mobilize, like you say, mobilize people to
a SWAT team.
I mean, it's a horror show. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but yeah, you would be suspicious, wouldn't you? If them roads have been like that all those years, then now they decide to start building them at what?
Well, everywhere's bankrupt in this country, and yet they've still got the money to spend hundreds of millions of pounds in a small town on a road.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to roll tanks down it. Who knows what they're going to roll down?
Well, it could just be accessibility. Yeah. It might not be tanks per se, but it could just be to get there quick. You know, why do they want to do that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It does make you start to ask questions. And then on a totally different topic, all the sand that they use, I've got to mention this. I watched this movie last night called Sand Wars documentary. Highly recommend this movie. Sand it from the ocean, because you can't use sand from the deserts. It's used in construction of roads and constructions of concrete and glass. And there's like this sand shortage, and there's this whole sand mafia. And what happens is the sand is dredged and pulled and dredged and pulled. And then erosion is intensified, and these islands are going underwater, and they're blaming global warming and sea level rise, but it's not that at all. There's no sea level rise. So anytime there's mention of infrastructure projects now, I think of sand in Dubai and all these sand islands and all this stuff. But sand is a thing. Highly recommend that movie to all you cinephiles out there. I was a film major, so we can go down that rabbit hole.
Why do they get sand from the desert?
Because it's been all refined and it's too perfect, and these perfect little circles, and the sand in the ocean is good for making construction, and the sand from the desert would not. It would just fall apart.
It doesn't different kinds
make
of sand
the then. Concrete well. Yeah. Interesting, huh?
Yeah. Very, very interesting. But, I mean, do they have the ULEZ type infrastructure in America, where you live? You know,
they're rolling it out in North America. Canada's getting really bad. It looks like Canada and the UK are diving in to this agenda.
And that's what you see, isn't it? You're seeing some countries are doing one thing and other countries are doing another thing. So it doesn't look like they're both doing the same thing. And then in 3 years' time, when they've done their things, they swap over. And in 10 years' time, everybody's done everything.
Yeah, they try to bring in that ULEZ thing. Not ULEZ as it is, but they try bringing the, charges to leave your house in your car into Cambridge, where I live. But because of all the thing in ULEZ, I think they backtracked it.
Yeah, there's been some guys going around calling them blade runners, and they're going around with steel saws and cutting them all down.
Yeah, and they basically, I think there was a high percentage of them weren't working because it cut them down, thankfully.
Yeah, they're cutting them down and spraying them with some like
literally angle grinders, taking them out. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And none of them got caught.
No.
There were a guy taking footage that I saw. They were all sat in a restaurant just watching and like laughing as he did it.
Because nobody wants them. No, nobody
why would
wants
you want
them.
It? Why would you want to get charged for leaving your house?
But I mean, it's not just the getting charged part, is it? It's the part is that eventually you'll walk down the road like Black Mirror, and you will be, that'll just be popping up on your phone.
That
you're entering a no-go area or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to say that camera won't just be used for tracking your car, will it?
No,
everything.
No, and also you'll just get fined. It'll just pop up on your phone, fined whatever $20, whatever.
If anyone's tried arguing a parking ticket, it's just talking into the void, aren't you?
You are talking into a black hole.
It becomes pointless.
And if our friend, the man who's going to save everybody, Elon Musk, gets his way, we'll all have a Neuralink, and apparently they're queuing up for him. Yeah. I saw an article that they're all cute. There's loads of people put the name down to be the first to have Neuralinks.
Well,
good luck there.
I've mentioned before, I've asked youngsters who I've worked with over the last few years, going back 3 or 4 years actually, and everyone said, if there's enough research, Because you know when I see a kid, because I work in restaurants, but I see a kid on the phone, like on his break like this, and I say, would you have that, do you know what a Neuralink is? No. And then explain to him, would you have it planted in your head? If it's safe, Some of them just go, no, which is, funny, but quite scary when someone's willing to line up for that.
Yeah, well, they're of a totally different generation, aren't they? They will line up because they think it's going to make them superhuman. Hence why all the superhero movies have been out, and they've all been either neuro-linked or they've had some sort of changes to the physical structure done, haven't they?
Well, the verbiage they're using is that you'll be
enhanced
beyond human. You'll be closer to a god than a human, so you'll be above all the other humans. And this is all media mind control through Hollywood and all that. If people could grasp their spiritual side and understand that we're still evolving, people will do anything to be cool. And the way that Hollywood has it set up with celebrities and everything, like people are so in love with and worship celebrities that if they decided to start calling themselves, people do anything. They're changing their sex and they'll put a robot chip in their brain just because someone else did it. They just don't think, they don't think beyond their own bubble. What you mentioned earlier about everyone's racing and then eventually they'll all become social media. I mean, social, what is it, through China, where everyone's monitoring one another. It'll all become the social credit system, pardon me.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'll be charged here if I do this. And over here, the cameras are watching me. And over here, we're getting Neuralink and all this stuff. Eventually, there'll be no money. And you're just going to get dinged points. Just like in China, you're going to have this point system. And like if you leave your house, you get this many points knocked off. And you get below a certain threshold, you can't access everything. And that's the game. And that's what these different dystopian movies, you know, the movies are fascinating. We're going to get into the second hour, but I was thinking about it. Is it predictive programming or is it revelation of the method? Are they telling us exactly what they're doing, or they're trying to convince us to do it to ourselves, or is it both? It all gets really tricky. And wait, Chris, they're going to charge you to leave your house? I didn't know that.
Well, it was, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't look into it, but I know I heard some people talking about it. And they were basically going to do the ULEZ thing where you get in your car and I leave anywhere. And I was saying, what, anywhere here? Yeah, I leave anywhere to stop the congestion in Cambridge. So I get in my car and I go anywhere and it's, you know, 10 quid or whatever it is, just to, you wouldn't be able to go to the local supermarket even or anything.
What they're doing is, if you've got a certain car of a certain age that isn't electric, you will get charged a certain amount of money for driving. So what they were doing, they were fitting the ULEZ cameras up, and it was outside someone's drive, and they pulled the car out. As soon as they pulled out, even if they pulled back in, they were getting dinged.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
So I suppose for me, I'd go around the corner and I'd be on the main street, and then I'd be
dinged.
Congestion, because I live 2 miles out of Cambridge town centre, so I'd be in that area.
Which is, well, what sense? It doesn't make sense to me, because if you're rich, these rules don't apply to you. So this is only oligarchs, making a distinction, a bigger disparity. Which there's already such disparity. It's so sad. I mean, where I live in my town, there's $1 million houses, and there's people camping out front of their homes in tents in the snow. I mean, that's the disparity. We've got homelessness next to rich oligarchs, and that's the system they're setting up even more so. Like, if you've got unlimited money, these rules don't apply to you. So carbon emissions don't apply to the rich.
And that's why, you know, that the whole thing's fucked up, because they'll spend $250 million on a road in a nowhere town like Halifax, for argument's sake. And that amount could probably solve the whole homeless issue for the next 25 years in Halifax, if not forever. I think it was, it reminded me when you mentioned the social credit score, it was David Rockefeller who said in 1972 about Mao Zedong's genocidal policies. In 1973, he said it in the New York Times. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. How extensively China opens up and how the world interprets and reacts to the social innovations and lifestyles she has developed is certain to have a profound impact on the future of many nations. There it is.
It's funny as well, isn't it? The social credit thing. I mean, I'm guessing I'd probably never heard of that up until 3 or 4 years ago. And they've been bleeding it into our conversations. And everyone going, oh, but it'll never get as bad as China, not with their social credit thing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? What a weird way to bleed it in, though, that everyone's going, oh, but China do this and China do that. As we're slowly getting closer and closer there, we're still saying, no, it wouldn't happen over here, not like in China.
Well, I went to a shop yesterday and they said, are you paying cash or card? And I thought, what? I said, are you actually asking for cash? It's very rare now you get asked if you're paying cash or card. It's normally we only accept card. Mm.
In Canada, they have a system set up now. So Canada, our friendly neighbor, is going down the dystopian path faster than ever. If you've ever been there, Canadians are very passive. They say sorry, sorry, sorry every like 5 words, and they're not going to buck their government. When I was living there, I couldn't believe that 75% was the tax rate. 75% of your earnings in the stock market go back to the queen, and then they pass some law making it 50%. But imagine you make some money in the stock market and 75% goes to the queen. You live in Canada and you've got to pay the queen across the pond for money that you made, and 75% of your profits. That's insanity. I mean, in the States it's 30%, and that's still really high. So they started to break it down and be like, okay, maybe you can keep 50%. But I started to witness they're so passive. No one cares. No one's armed. I think the United States is probably the only place that's armed to the teeth that could really, really fight. And that's so controlled as well. I think way too many people have guns and people that are in the wrong hands and all that. And that's going to be used against us as well because they're dividing the crap out of us. Why? You know, they're arming everybody and dividing the crap out of us. It looks like, you know, what's going to happen next. But I digress. In Canada, it's been set up, pay with your face. It's just pay with your face. And that's in a lot of locations now. So you pay with your face only. And so there's a system set up where your facial recognition has been put in, and that's down to your retinal scan and everything. And then your face is in a database attached to your bank account. And now people are paying with their face. I mean, that's slippery slope because the social credit is going to be out there watching your face. And then you cross the sidewalk without asking for permission. It's already connected to your bank. Look at that. Bing.
Like Dom said, they're trying it out there in Canada then, by the sounds of it. Is it already in place, the pay with your face thing? Is that actually a big...
It's in place, but not everywhere, of course. They're just, they're putting it in certain places, and then people adopt it or they don't. And people adopt it, that's the problem. These places that get set up, I think it's because of sci-fi movies and the media, and maybe if it doesn't work, they'll get Ice Cube to go and do a commercial on it or something. But like, literally, people...
Ice Cube was anti-jab, by the way. Yeah.
I know, I chose the wrong name.
Chose the wrong guy.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
But you see, they put something out there, and then it's up to us to reject it, but we don't, you know? People get in line for it because it adapts to their new iPhone. And, you know, where was the protest when they changed the iPhone jack and made it so that you couldn't plug in your auxiliary cord? Nobody said a word, right? Mm. Nobody said a word. They just got in line and got the next phone and just did it and threw away their old attachments. It's like it's a slippery slope to the point where it gets plugged in to your jugular, and then who are you going to complain to? Sorry to be so dark, but yeah, it's getting there. We've got cities like Portland, Oregon. There's places where you can't walk in until your face is scanned. It's the major cities, and the major cities are signing up with the ULEZ thing, and they're turning them into 50-minute city zones. And I think it's ironic, idiotic, hypocritic. There's so many different aspects of it. But the scariest thing that I see is they're making these zones where people can't leave because of their carbon emissions, and they're all urban zones. So you got to stick in your urban zone, stay in your city, and you can't leave your little area. If anybody really cared about carbon emissions, these people should be out in the country planting trees. How many trees did you plant today? Oh, 100? Well, then your social credit system gets boosted, whatever. You know, like, where is this conversation? It's not happening. They're being shoved into urbanized areas, not even talking about trees, and being basically enslaved based on their movement. How much movement are you doing? Because that's attached to the energy system, and they're saying that the energy...
Not even just trees, man. Apple trees, pear trees, they could be... I mean, in England, we're not very good with growing stuff because it's got apples and pear... All the fields should just be full of them. An abundance of fruit and veg for everybody. Why don't they talk about that? Instead of running out of everything, even we're going to run out of water, even though it's in his piss down for 3 months.
The cat come round here and say they're going to run out of water because it has just pissed down for about 6 months here.
Yeah, but they will, and they can.
Oh, they will.
We're running out of fruit, we're running out of tree, you know, no food. But like I said, just fill all the fields with full of fruit. Why not?
Well, I keep saying it. I look out my window here, and it's just green fields. Right? Let's just say for a minute it is heating up, even though it's bollocks, right? Why not embrace it?
Brilliant. Let's start a vineyard. I can start a vineyard and make my own wine.
I can go back to my proper African colour all year round instead of this Karamak type colour because it's horrible.
You look like Homer Simpson. Off yellow colour,
but there's about, apparently, if you believe this nonsense, but let's just say it's true, there's 3 trillion trees on earth roughly. I don't know who's counted them. That's what they're saying. 3 trillion. Yeah, 3 trillion. It takes hundreds of thousands of years to cut them down at this rate.
There's no problems with anything.
No, there is.
If we don't want there to be.
The problems are Bill Gates, George Soros, and all these other knobheads that are floating around telling us what to do constantly. Absolutely.
It's all fear-mongering, really. It's just fear based out of the politicians' mouths. And I keep being reminded of this quote, you can either take authority as the truth, or you can take truth as the authority, and it's completely up to you. And this little pigeonhole that they're trying to push people into, it only... benefits the rich. It benefits the oligarchs. I mean, they get to keep flying their planes. Oh, another thing that's hilarious. They're blocking our sun with geoengineering. They are spraying the sky. Okay, they say they're going to do it in the future. They're doing it now. Just go look outside. Yep, they're doing it now.
We will come to that. I've got some stuff on that for us. And I've got a video of Bill Gates talking about it as well to play.
I got this
as well, but yeah.
My missus went to London and got a Metro newspaper. Look at the cover of this. This was the front page. The Wrath of Ciaran.
That was the storm. They're naming storms in England now. I don't know if you know that.
Well, apparently, on a psychological level, if they name them, that means they existed.
Yes.
If it's just a storm and it comes and goes, it means nothing. But if they name it, and they called it the Wrath of Khan, as in Star Trek. But this was on Thursday, right? On Friday, my missus went to London. And we didn't even notice anything had happened. But according to this newspaper, Britain takes a hammering from deadly storm Khan with this dramatic weather map showing the certain, you know, they've got this map showing all these circles and whatever. It said 120 houses were destroyed, all this. There's not one picture of any destruction whatsoever, except for one garage falling on a car.
And if you went to interview them people, they would have a moan about the garage blowing over onto the car.
Yeah, but things have always happened, haven't they? Yeah. You know, trees fall on things in winds and stuff. They've got a picture of some boats there. Look, we're a big wave. Okay, could be from anywhere at any time whatsoever.
That could be in summer.
Look at that one there. There's someone in look at that. Those guys in a dinghy. But they're being pushed by someone who's just got wellies on. Why don't they just give them some wellies?
Yeah, give them some bigger wellies. We were also talking, just before we trip off into climate land, we were also talking about 5G and 5G towers. And although they are firing up 5G towers, and during 2020 they were throwing them up like confetti, some of them were appearing overnight. I remember my wife's parents bought a house, and about 150 yards away, one appeared literally. They put it up overnight in a field.
I've noticed loads around here, and I've never seen anyone putting one up.
But the reason they're doing a lot of the roads as well, they're digging a lot of roads, is they're putting the fibre optics down. I was talking to you about this, Chris. I mean, Matt, we're having a discussion about it. And the fibre optics are 5G. And with that, and Matt rightly said earlier, without their fibre optics, the actual towers, the whole thing wouldn't work. It's a loop, isn't it? It's a loop.
Fibre optics going into the towers.
It's a loop, isn't it, Matt? For broadband and everything, Chris.
And it's actually a beautiful thing if you were to take advantage of it, but we're not. No. So fiber optics are these lines laid underneath ground that actually use light speed data, right? So you can get the fiber optics literally wired into your home, and you can have wired Ethernet, internet, and you can have your whole house wired, because if they're wiring the street out front of your house, you don't need to go wireless. There it is. It's right there. But they ignore that amazing fact. I mean, that's actually very convenient that your neighborhood is now wired with fiber optics. I mean, everyone could tap into it, but instead they put in that infrastructure just to plop wherever they want into that infrastructure, these small cells and big cells. And so they'll run fiber optics out into the country along a freeway, on rural roads. They have to put those everywhere. You can't just go plop a 5G tower out and then connect it wirelessly. What's really fascinating is 5G is only fast because of the fiber optics that are really doing it. So say you went and plopped a 5G tower out, and then another 5G tower, another 5G tower, and you're like, no, they just communicate with one another. That's not going to be fast enough. It's not going to be high speed. What they have to do is send it all underground to the next biggest tower and work it that way. And then it goes underground to undersea cables to China or whatever. It's like we're talking right now because of fiber optic cables. Right, that's how it works.
Actually, so it goes under the ground, then beams out of those towers. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to. They could do the whole infrastructure without those towers. Everything could be wired, and everything would be fine. But they're putting it all out there. I had a city hall meeting that I went to once on 5G. I was the only one there opposing it in Arcata, California, Northern California, and they're about to do a full-on pass and say, "Yeah, we're going to let the telecom agencies come in and put in the infrastructure and put in the 5G towers in the neighborhoods." And I asked them, I was like, "Do you know what you're talking about? Do you know what you're saying? Like, do you know that it requires fiber optics? Do you understand this technology?" They all shook their heads. Nobody knew. The mayor didn't know. The city council didn't understand. And I said, you can't. I said to them in front of everyone, if you're not educated on this technology, then how are you making big decisions on the future? And so they put a pause and they said that they were going to get somebody involved that understood it better so that they can make these decisions. But these local municipalities are just saying yes because they don't know. They don't understand.
And they don't want to be the odd ones out.
Yeah, they don't want to get pushed around or be the ones that, you know.
Yeah, missed out or whatever. Or lose the grants or whatever it might be. Don't get a backhander.
But I encourage people, okay, so when it's going into your neighborhood now, you have a choice. It's just like a stop sign. If there's a stop sign going into your neighborhood or not, maybe you want a stop sign or a traffic light there because, you know, there's a lot of car accidents. You go into your city hall, you talk, you have your voice heard, and other people rally behind you like, oh, actually, my dog got hit at that intersection as well or whatever it is. Same thing with the 5G tower in your neighborhood. You can go in and make a fuss. And your city can do a zoning ordinance that says neighborhoods can only have these certain distances from their homes or whatever. But if you don't make a fuss and use your voice, like you're in this situation, your voice is your weapon. And in the local municipalities, I've got people because of my EMF protection clothing line, people call me from all over the world. It's really scary, actually. These smart meters, like Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a random state in the middle of the United States. Their smart meters are really, really bad. People contact me. I'm like 20 states away from them. People contact me from that state in particular often. This woman filmed these birds attacking the smart meter, and the birds were all bloodied, like smashing into the smart meter. So wow. She got it turned off, and the birds stopped. You know, it's like, it is a problem.
People yeah, Matt, are... listen to this one. I might have mentioned this on our podcast before, but I keep getting offered a smart meter. Then they went from offering it to ringing you and saying, we're in the area. When do you want us to fit your smart meter?
A veiled threat.
I kept saying, I don't want it. I don't want it. Then they offered me 50 quid. And then I think it was 200 quid off my bill. Still said no. And then this was the funniest one. I got this email and I live in quite a new house, right? And it said, due to your meter that you've got now, it'll become defunct in January. So you need to get a smart meter now. Right. I thought, shit, how do I get out of this? So I started Googling and how do I get out of this? This is ridiculous. So I was looking and I saw some funny stuff. Some said that they've got quotas. The energy companies have got quotas to get X amount of smart meters fitted in people's houses as quick as possible. And people are buying it over here for some reason. I'm sure they are, but they aren't or whatever. But they're not meeting the quotas, hence offering you money. Anyway, then about 4 or 5 hours, then I got another email saying, ignore that previous email. Your meter is fine. And I thought, I panicked, right? But I knew it was bullshit. Imagine how many people signed up for a smart meter in them 5 hours.
Wow. Yeah. Just bang. Well, they have to get their numbers because they won't work when they're standing there alone. They have to be able to push the data to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. And that sometimes the 5G, if it's a small carrier wave, sometimes it only goes, you know, 100 feet or, you know, so many. It doesn't go very far. So the infrastructure needs to be in place for that system to work. Plus, they want to fry everyone and monitor everyone. And if your neighbor's getting fried and you're not, and you're walking around happy and healthy, that people are going to start to know the jig is up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also over here, regardless of all the rain we have, the water boards, I don't know what it's like over there, Matt, but they got sold off in the 80s, 90s by the government and floated on the stock exchange. So we had government-owned water, right? Literally, loads of reservoirs in this country full of water. And they've closed, I think it was 100 reservoirs. They haven't built one reservoir since 1990 when they floated them all on the stock market. They broke them all up, floated them all in areas. Like, round here, we've got Yorkshire Water. I don't know what it'll be down by Chris's. What's it by you, Chris?
Anglian
Water, whatever. So they broke them all up, and they're all listed companies on the stock market, owned by foreign municipals, etc. And they lose 25% of the water because of not invested in the infrastructure. Mm. Yeah.
Is it expensive?
It's not that bad, but that's the problem for them because they can't say it doesn't rain over here.
Rains everywhere.
Yeah. But they lose 25% of the water, obviously on purpose, and they stop building new reservoirs and they're closing old ones down. So they're actually making a drought even though there isn't a drought.
It's all psychological.
Yeah.
It's all psychological. It's all green agenda. And they have to get everybody on board thinking that we're overpopulated, thinking that we're running out, thinking that we're running out of water. I mean, how are you going to get someone to rat out their neighbor on how long their shower was if their fear's not in place first, you know?
That's right. And also they're on about forcing people to have water meters because they've got to keep a check on the water now because
like the smart meter.
I mean, exactly.
The smart meter, other side of the 5G stuff is they'll get to a point where they're telling you, better grass you up on what you're using it for. Oh, he's got his lights on all night. He's watching TV too. And then the water meter at the same time, you know, all that stuff, all control mechanisms, guilt and control. And, you know, grass your neighbour up
because he hadn't had a jab or
whatever, yeah.
You were showing us this picture here, Matt. I know people won't be able to see it on a podcast, but it's basically liquid trees.
Scientists create that? Liquid trees, a tank full of water and microalgae that can be an alternative to trees in urban areas. It basically looks like a stagnant fish tank, doesn't it?
Well, fear is the only way you're going to get people to accept this dystopian nonsense. If you can get people entrenched in this lower vibration, and then it's back to this problem, reaction, solution, Hegelian dialectic, then you can shove the solution down their throat and they'll thank you for it. Nobody's going to be okay with you chopping down trees and replacing them with big buckets of green algae that need to be plugged into the wall that look like you're in a freaking Frankenstein movie. No one's okay with that unless you freak them out. You got to scare the crap out of them first and then be like, oh, this is the only solution, right? They chop down those trees and those old trees saying, oh, we need to put this in for 5G or whatever. The trees are too dense. The wood is dense, especially in older trees. The wood is too dense. The 5G signal can't get through it. The 5G signal is a tight carrier wave that when it hits a human, it absorbs into the human. It's definitely absorbing into the trees. And how are you going to get that laser beam forming signal to go down these city streets? They've got to chop down the trees. Now, is that very green to chop down trees? No, it's not green, but they're not going to tell you that they're being baddies while they're doing this. They're just going to come up with some more technological solution that, of course, is going to cost taxpayers money. And what is each one equivalent to?
It's obviously our fault, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And it's all our fault, right?
I mean, it's much harder to plant a tree than design and build that fucking fish tank.
It's been proven that trees cool down areas. So if we have got global climate boiling change, then cutting the trees down ain't going to help either, is it? But obviously, anyway.
I mean, just the design of that. Someone's designed that to replace a tree.
No, do you know even worse than that, Chris? Somebody's got a grant to design that. Even worse. And they've done that in the name of global climate warming change.
Yeah. This is what we need to do. We need to milk this. We need to come up with some ideas like that green algae tank instead of a tree. And just make money out of this fucking bullshit.
Well, there's nothing but money flowing to it. I did some research on Al Gore recently I'm doing a presentation over the weekend in your neck of the woods on climate alarmism and net zero and all this nonsense. Net zero is not even possible because we exhale carbon. I mean, the system that exists that's been put in place by our government, by the powers that be, it's an energy system that requires us to breathe and eat and use energy. You know, the system has been created to be us using energy. Now they turn it around and say, oh, it's your fault that you're using energy and it's your problem. And because of you, we've got to do this. So there's this thing, you guys know about Iron Mountain?
Yeah.
It was around the JFK administration. Maybe we've talked about this, but the world can't unify over much. You know, we get separated on a lot, but unifying over a fear-monger problem such as this global warming bollocks nonsense, I've been practicing my bollocks. First it was bollocks. First I was
that's
bollocks.
Yeah.
Oh, is that better?
Bollocks.
I thought bollocks. I thought bollocks was funnier. Anyways.
No, that's funnier, but bollocks is right.
Bollocks.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm saying it. I sound...
If you're a southerner, it's bollocks.
Yeah, if it's something, it's Balak, so that might be easier for you.
Yeah.
So that's terrific. So at the end of the day, we've got Al Gore. He came out with this movie and climate alarmism about 20 years ago now. And he said all these horrible, crazy things that everyone believed. He showed us these charts and he said, Manhattan's going to be underwater. We have to act now. We have a moral responsibility for the grandchildren, all these things. He made these very dire predictions that created this climate alarmism, that created this scenario where, oh, we need to act now. And all. Nothing happened. None of the things that he said.
He got an Oscar for it, Matt. That happened.
Oh, he got an Oscar.
Thank you. Yeah.
And did you know that it tried to get, this movie tried to get plugged, Inconvenient Truth. And it's basically saying that we're all doomed because of our carbon emissions, and the polar ice caps are going to put everything underwater, and we have to act now or else. So this movie started getting plugged into the public school systems all around the world. Did you know about this? And then in the UK, it went to court, and a UK judge had to rule that Al Gore's movie had 9 scientific fallacies in it. And I can rattle them off. He says sea level will not rise by 20 feet. Pacific atolls are not being inundated. Ocean conveyor is not shutting down. CO2 levels and a rise in temperatures is not an exact fit. Scientists have not established that Kilimanjaro snow recession is attributed to global warming. There's all these things. Polar bears are not drowning because of global warming. Global warming did not cause Hurricane Katrina. A court had to come out and say, you cannot be preaching this to our schools in Britain.
And now what's he saying? He's saying that the atmosphere is like, what is it, 6,000 Hiroshima bombs going off in the atmosphere, and the seas are boiling.
Well, they're not. These are lies. And people...
Damn, I believed him.
Once someone's made those predictions, an inconvenient lie.
Yeah.
Once someone's made those predictions and they don't happen, he should be trounced as a fraud. And I think he made a sequel to that film.
He did. We've got to make a sequel to two lies, Chris.
So I'll say real quick, the judge was in a Kent school. The Kent schools were about to get plugged and have it as a curriculum. And the Kent school governor brought it to the courts. And the courts ruled against Al Gore's movie. And then come to find out, after doing a little digging on Al Gore, so right on when he released this movie, he simultaneously came out with a green investment fund that he managed. And starting on the release of the movie, he started giving people advice and grants.
Do you know his business partner was in that?
Bill Gates, let me guess.
No. A guy called David Blood. Mm. So we've got Gore. And Blood.
Of course.
Gore Blood Incorporated.
So Gore starts paying himself $3 million a month, all right? Right. He starts making all this money.
He's doing it all for free. He starts making millions and millions of dollars
to be the consultant on green investing. So now he's a millionaire, and he starts buying oceanfront homes for hundreds of millions of dollars because he doesn't care about sea level rise. He doesn't really care. He knows he's full of it. He knows he's a liar. And what he does is he gets paid millions and millions of dollars, you guys, to turn companies green, to get people making these algae tanks and all these other things. So he's like the front runner of green initiatives and all these things. And green now just means total. I mean, it doesn't mean what it means.
He's apparently worth $330 million.
Wow.
And his father was a partner in an oil company as well called Occidental Petroleum.
Mm, of course.
And he got a trust fund from that.
So I think this has been planned. I think they planned it all out. He wasn't supposed to win the election.
Do you think that was his payoff, Matt? I think it was his payoff, that. This career, what he's doing now.
Yeah, and he's still doing it. He's still the green guy. Mm. And green really means watermelon, where it's green on the outside and actually red on the inside, because none of these green initiatives are good for the people. They're all really commie red if you really look deep into them. Where I live, they're busting these dams. Where I live, there's this river that used to flood every year and then be dried up in the summer. So they put in a series of 5 hydrological hydro dams. So the dams, number one, bring green energy to the whole community. And also, they regulate the water so that the farmers can have irrigation year-round. The entire region relies on this river and the irrigation and the farmers getting water. So now the federal government has come in. The state said, no, we can't bust up these dams. It'll ruin the whole region. The federal government has come in under Joe Biden and said that we have to destroy the dams. So next year, they're dynamiting 5 of these dams that have huge reservoirs. Their dams create these reservoirs that every time we have fires, they go and scoop water out. This is annually. We have fires.
I hope Joe doesn't light wrong end of the dynamite.
So every year we have fires, they go and scoop water out of these reservoirs and put out our fires. Every year that it's the end of the summer and there's drought, the irrigation comes off of these regulated dams and they feed the water for the irrigation, and we have crops from it. So now, because of green, and I get it, the salmon want to run upstream. I get that the salmon want to go, and that's beautiful and all that, and they have other means to help them. But people don't see the writing on the walls. People don't get, like, even people in this region, they're like, oh, yeah, burn down the dams. We're not going to have farms, which equals no food for the people. It's asinine. It's completely ass backwards. These projects were put into place for the people, for humans to be able to exist and have food, and now they're being all taken down. This anti-human is what green is in the end. Is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, net zero, and I wrote something down. Yes, net zero. We can't live without CO2. Without CO2, plants obviously die off. Without plants, the Earth biological food chain would be terminally broken. CO2 obviously plays various roles in the human body, including regulation of blood, respiratory drive, and the affinity of hemoglobin for oxygen. So all this zero, they might as well say zero oxygen, because that's how important CO2 is to the human and to everything else.
And I'll just say one more time, let's do the math on how much our energy output is in a day and how much carbon we actually use. And then let's do the math on how many trees it would take to make us actually net zero in that aspect. Yeah. I don't like their concept of net zero, what I have to pay to go places and eat bugs. Okay. Pay to go places and eat bugs. Oh my gosh. So I used to be in the stock market for like 20 years. I would research the stock market. I was obsessed. I actually have a very, very bad gambling problem. It went from sports to stock market. And now I'm an activist. I'm just kidding.
That's the nature of Art of the Beast, though.
No, I'm going to say you're at least firing your obsessive mind into something positive.
That's the nature of the beast, Matt. That's where we are, man.
I've said that before, right? in our podcast. One thing we all have in common, we're all quite obsessive people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've got to be careful where you throw your obsession.
Unfortunately, it's not psychopathic like these bastards we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you have to be meticulous to be able to get through these rabbit holes, because you have to put yourself in these evil think tanks. Literally, you have to wear this cap and be like, I'm going to enslave humanity. It's going to take 150 years. Mwahaha, it's stupid. But you have to go there to really see the writing on the wall, because otherwise you become a victim to it. You know, you do. But to see the writing on, to see where they're going, then we can actually decipher and live through it and actually be the change that we want to be and shine the light for the people and see what's going on. I mean, in my town where we're at right now, they say we need an emergency evacuation system, and they're going to put in cameras everywhere. They're going to put in cameras and antennas all throughout the city because they want us to be able to evacuate quickly.
For
it's
what?
Very obviously fires, I guess, is the only thing we have here. Yeah. Or earthquake. They say a big earthquake might come too. Yeah. So we might get a big earthquake one day. So we need cameras and 5G towers everywhere, watching everyone at all times. It's quite obvious that they're trying to fear people into getting their infrastructure put in. So it's up to the activist to dismantle the fear, resonate out of it, to see the writing on the wall, be able to dive down that rabbit hole, but pull yourself out, and then, you know, sound the alarm for your friends, family, and peers.
I remember seeing he's actually a board member of the World Economic Forum. Of course he is. I think he's actually the chairman or the head of the board. He's the ex-Nestle guy. I think he's a Scandinavian bloke who actually said water should be basically a product.
A commodity.
A commodity. And it should be, there should be a price on its head, basically. There should be a price there. And what you're saying about the dams and everything else, that is basically what they're doing. They're ripping up common sense and basically inventing shortages.
Yeah, exactly.
They're making shortages because they're pulling the plug. I want to play this Bill Gates video. I don't know if you've seen it. It's only about a minute. People who are listening will hear it on the podcast, on the audio. But this sums up what Bill Gates has. It's not just about Bill Gates. He's a messenger, but he's working. He's an underling. He's not at the top table. He's just a bit higher up. He's senior management, let's call him. But this is the excuses they use for flying around in private jets, which would be nice, and using 100-meter super yachts.
Say to the charge that if you are a climate change campaigner, but you also travel around the world on a private jet, you're a hypocrite.
Well, I, by the gold standard of funding Climeworks to do direct air capture that far exceeds my family's carbon footprint. And I spend billions of dollars on climate innovation. So, you know, should I stay at home and not come to Kenya and learn about farming and malaria? anyway, I mean, I'm comfortable with the idea that not only am I not part of the problem by paying for the offsets, but also through the billions that my Breakthrough Energy Group is spending, that I'm part of the solution.
No, stay at home, Bill.
The final solution.
Stay at home, Bill. The Kenyans don't need you there, mate. They just stay at home.
Kenyans don't need you there. And also, I had a quick look into some of these ventures that Gates is going through, this Breakthrough Energy. I mean, he talks about, I've given it billions, but the billions are in a foundation. So they're not actually his. What always gets me with Bill Gates, everyone says he's worth whatever, 170 gazillion, whatever it is. But the money's actually in a foundation. And from my business background, if you set a foundation up, it's not yours anymore. It's the foundation's. You're just a manager of that money, which we all know that that's another way of hiding the money. However, it's not his money legally. Legally, it's not his cash.
Yeah, he talks like it's personally coming out of his back pocket.
Yeah, and it's an investment NGO. So John D. Rockefeller III that came up with venture investment capitalism or something like that in the late 60s, where he was saying he set up an NGO, basically, and you invest in companies. You open up this new market. We need wind turbines. Right. So everyone gets wind turbines and you've got an investment in that market. And then the government says, oh, you get tax credits if you invest in that business there because it's helping the environment. So it's double bubble. You're getting your money back and you've invested in a new company that might float on the stock market in 2 or 3 years' time. We just invented a new industry, basically.
Is that's a smaller version of that is when the electric cars came out.
Yeah.
And they let everybody get tax breaks and get an electric.
Exactly. That's how they bribe you into it. And Tesla is a prime example of this nonsense because Tesla, it's never made a penny profit. Don't make profit. Yeah, it's worth, what is it, $1 trillion or some ridiculous amount of money? I've forgotten what it's worth now. And it doesn't make any money.
He's only the richest person in the world because of stock manipulation. That stock should not be worth what it is. The powers that be, the manipulators behind the scene, the JP Morgans, the families that manipulate the stock market, they chose him and then jacked up his stock to make it that he would be the rich guy. There's no reason in hell. There's no reason at all where the stock, fundamentally, the stock never should have gone up to thousands of dollars. He got rich for no reason, and it's because they chose him. Bill Gates, he mentions direct air capture technology. That total knobhead, okay.
Absolutely. We're talking about systems that are dragging carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
Chris. We're talking about fans that pull air and supposedly sequester the carbon into these tanks. There's no scrutiny at all behind these things. There's no regulations. Nobody's monitoring these things. Nobody's saying, oh, are your tanks really full of carbon? Okay, also, these are technological versions of trees, people. Trees do this exact same thing, and they actually sequester the carbon properly and put it into our real world, right? I mentioned the stock market earlier because you can look at these projects, like you said, the Teslas of the world or the Bill Gates investments, and also bugs. There's so much money being put into bug milk, bug this, and the incentives. If you want to make a bug factory right now, the government will literally give you the money to do it. You don't even need to break even. You don't need to make any money. Just the fact that you're doing something quote unquote green and you're going to get paid because of the scam, right?
An ant farm for the
ant farm. Heaven forbid you're a farmer that actually grows food.
An ant farm for the ant farm.
I also noticed that, you know, the Tesla electric pumps, there's one near my house where there's a big row of them that appeared in the middle of lockdown. They're all lit up as well, 24 hours a day. I mean, I know I'm not a scientist, but
Chris, they're LED lights.
All right.
So I did a little looking into these Tesla power stations. The largest one in the world is built out here in the Nevada, California area, and it's generated by hundreds lined up diesel generators.
I thought they were banned.
Right. And mind you, they're trying to ban them under a green initiative. They're saying that we're not allowed to have diesel generators by the year 2030, but these car stations can have them. So imagine right now, I'm able to, if I wanted to, I could get jugs of gasoline and put them in the trunk of my car. I could drive anywhere because I've got gas in my car and I could drive 1,000 clicks. It doesn't matter where. But with one charge on my electrical battery, I'm limited how far I can go. And if there's not a charging station because it hasn't been put there for a reason, or they've turned it off or whatever, they get to limit my access to where my travel, where I need, where I can go. It's not, it's completely asinine and backwards, especially when you think in the United States, if you plug in your car to a charging station, it's literally going to a coal burning power plant. I know in Sweden and other Dutch countries or whatever, they've got a lot of wind energy and all this stuff, and they claim to be green. But in the US, you're plugging into a coal power plant, literally walking around as a hypocrite, thinking that you're better than everybody. Oh, and have you seen these things blow up? Have you seen these things catch on fire? Yeah, have you seen the electrical car fires? Or have you seen the price on replacing a battery? It's insane.
I was just going to mention that, Matt. I saw a video where some guys just managed to kick himself out of his car before it exploded. Yeah. And also, just recently, we had a fire in an airport car park. And on the news, I was watching it, and I said to Matt, because it was live on the news, this thing, right? And it was like, you know the classic car fire. And I don't know, it's a weird fire. It's not like a normal fire. It's like a
microwave fire.
And I said to him, Mrs., that's a bloody electric car that is. And it, what was interesting, on the news report, it said a diesel Range Rover. So they were immediately putting the diesel. It was a diesel.
It came out
news
after,
reports, it was a diesel. But now again, they're saying it's a diesel again. Then it came after it was electric. Now they're saying it's diesel again.
I went into
saying it was arson who did it, you know.
I went into car park. I went out on a train the other week. And the lower part of the car park at Leeds Central Station, firstly, it was obviously disabled, and then it was electric cars, and there were about three. So there was two levels of electric car charging, and there were about three cars in it. We had to go right up.
it seems like a bit of the plan that's not working, I think, the electric car thing.
Yeah, but they'll force it in, Chris.
Yeah.
They'll force
it. Already have, haven't they, to be fair.
They'll force it in. But this Breakthrough Energy Group that our friend Bill Gates were talking about there, again, it's. I think it was launched at the UN, so it's part of this UN initiative type stuff, and they've got seven other umbrella organisations underneath it, and they've got a load of these billionaires that have put in. I think Richard Branson and all these other people have put millions into it. And have you seen the logo?
Well, coronavirus. Or whatever sigil it is this week,
whichever one it is, yeah. But yeah, so interesting that he's coming up with that. But this last video, because we're coming up to nearly an hour, I just want to play this last one because I think you might find this interesting, Matt.
The record number of fires burning across Brazil's Amazon rainforest has prompted renewed global outcry over climate change and big spending. $5 million from Leonardo DiCaprio, £10 million from the UK. Meanwhile, Bill Gates is backing the first high-altitude experiment of one radical climate change solution, creating a massive chemical cloud that could cool the Earth. It's called solar geoengineering, and it's highly controversial.
How long will it be that countries keep experiencing these climate impacts before someone gets desperate and says, hey, we need to cool the planet with solar geoengineering?
It would look something like this. Thousands of planes would fly very high and use nozzles to inject millions of tons of light-reflecting particles into the stratosphere. It would create a thin chemical cloud of those particles around the whole planet, blocking some sunlight from reaching the surface. It would mimic a giant volcanic eruption, which we know cools the Earth. Back in 1991, Mount Pinatubo erupted in the Philippines. It was the largest eruption to affect a densely populated area, creating avalanches and giant mud flows that left more than 700 dead and 30,000 homeless. It also spewed a cloud of 20 million tons of sulfur dioxide particles into the stratosphere. That chemical cloud was hundreds of miles across and reflected about 2% of sunlight back to space. And in 1992, the Earth was cooler than in 1991.
That is part of the mechanism, but you do this in a controlled way.
Modeling studies have found that it could reduce the intensity of heat waves, for instance. Apparently it could reduce the rate of sea level rise. It could reduce the intensity of tropical storms.
But it also comes with significant risks and uncertainties.
Things like mass famine, mass flooding, drought of kinds.
Not a lot going for you, really, has it?
Just leave everything alone. That's what you should do.
But do you notice in all the way through that could, might do, possibly, might solve this, might not solve that?
Okay, I want to talk about this. Let me just say, first of all, if I'm not interrupting too much, what puts out fires?
Let me think. More fire? Petrol?
Does spraying the sky with aluminum put out fires? How about making it rain? How about rain? How about water? How about have we discussed? Wait. Did we know Dubai's making it rain? We made it rain in Vietnam. We can make it rain. Actually, what's really fascinating, I was looking back at these old newspaper articles, archives, it was common knowledge that farmers could seed clouds and make it rain. They actually used to seed the clouds with the nutrients that they needed. So if you are lacking potassium in your soil, you could seed the clouds with minerals. It's just been swept under the rug that cloud seeding is a thing. Mm. The first conversation regarding fires should be, let's just put these out with rain that we can make with lasers or whatever. They can make it overnight, whatever. They can do it. Secondly, this, in 1991, there was Pinatubo. They love bringing up this one volcano that supposedly cooled. That's corollary. That's corollary and not causal. A volcano went off, and then in 1992, it seemed to be a little cooler. Okay, that's just horrific science, okay? maybe that did that, and maybe it'll do it again. You notice they don't use the word greenhouse effect anymore. They used to hammer that word all day long. There's a greenhouse effect. It's creating global warming. Greenhouse effect, greenhouse effect, greenhouse effect. What happens if you layer the atmosphere with metallic particles? You make that greenhouse effect that we've all been worried about. The heat gets trapped in. You make the problem that you're saying is the problem. You literally make the problem. Yeah. And then we actually do start heating up. And then you're like, oh, we got to spray more to fix our problem. It's absolute nonsense. And before I lose you guys, I want to say carbon cooling credits. So this Bill Gates nonsense with his little sigil, Breakthrough Energy, looks like a bunch of sixes piled up on top of each other. Yeah. He's pure evil. And they've come out with now these carbon cooling credits through this green initiative where you can literally go and donate money. And these people are so – I mean, the general populace is just so incredibly ignorant that they can incrementally donate this money to get stuff sprayed in the skies, okay? So they'll – donate money to get stuff sprayed in the skies to help our whatever global warming, as they call it. But they don't even know on the website what they're getting sprayed in the atmosphere. It just says stuff. So people donate and they don't even know what's being sprayed overhead. And they're like, no, it's a fancy website. And it has like Time Magazine, Washington Post, and all these media conglomerates that support it. Literally, you can go and donate as much as you want. And then you get your little carbon cooling credit because you've been a good boy or girl by giving the system money to spray chemtrails. You can literally donate to have chemtrails sprayed over your head now. Fucking. How sad is that?
Does no one think, where do they land? They've got to land somewhere. Does no one think about that even?
The chemtrails, yeah.
These metallic particles have to land somewhere.
Oh, but get breathed in.
That's what I'm saying. But I've got my electric car, tick. I've had my jab, tick, and now I'm paying fucking half of my wage into a fucking
I've got my electric car running on slave labour, tick. But it doesn't matter because I'm giving 10 quid to Oxfam. Don't worry about slave labour.
It's amazing.
And meanwhile, Dom, Chris, really quick, they're dimming the sun and they say we're going to do it, but they're doing it.
They're doing it.
They say they're going to do it and they say it's green. And then they say, oh, we've got to stop using dirty energy. Everyone needs to get solar power. How are they telling us that we need to get solar panels on our houses while they're dimming the sun? That, I mean, come on, people. At least that could be a wake-up call for somebody. Maybe one person could wake up.
I don't think these NPCs are waking up.
Well, those things we just talked about, they turn us all into little miniature Satanists, aren't they? Just anti-life, mm-hmm. anti-everything, anti-sun, anti-earth, anti-everything. And all in the delusion that we're doing good for the planet and ourselves,
But like you said, they cause, again, it's the problem, reaction, solution scenario. The 2020 rollout of the arms spears that we're seeing now, the effects of, that was the same thing. We'll cause something that wasn't there and then say that's it that we're saving you from. And it's a tried and tested method.
Make you feel smug for getting involved as well.
Yeah, it makes it feel smug and give you a badge for doing it, for killing yourself.
A smiley badge.
Yeah, a smiley badge for killing yourself. That's one thing we've been talking about, Matt, before we finish. The smiley face in the 60s, which is now a $500 million a year business, believe it or not, that's been utilized for the acid movement in the 60s, and certainly over here in the second Summer of Love in the late 80s with the house music and acid house music that was over here. And we're seeing it a lot used in as some sort of symbol. The Nirvana used it, but theirs had crosses on its eyes like a dead entity, and it had a dint in its in its head, which I don't know if that's where Kurt Cobain in the future shot himself, but there are a lot of, it's very symbolic anyway, that's what we're saying, the smiley face. And they were giving badges out when they'd had the jab, that's why, with a smiley face over here, on saying, hi, I've had it, have you? But yeah.
I think it's likely just the whole, like, you know, when you turn on the news and the world's crumbling around you, and the world's like, and the news is like, oh, everything's fine, just keep on getting in line for your, you know, next rations or whatever. It's like, as the world falls apart, as long as someone's wearing a smiley face on their chest, then it's all good. I know we're running out of time. You mentioned, for this first half, you mentioned the Nestle guy. Yeah. I Googled it recently, and Nestle has put all this money into rephrasing what he said.
Wow.
So the top of the Google search will tell you, he didn't say that. He said something really nice. But then you go down to the second half of Google search, and then it's his, literally they put all this money in there to change the narrative on it. And if you look it up on Google, you'll think otherwise.
It's been fact-checked and memory old and reorganized.
it's on the barn wall now. It's rejigged for the new NPC population to say, them bastards on that podcast were lying to me. But they weren't. I forget what it was. Peter something he was called, and he's an evil looking mofo as well. Right, so we finished this hour. Shall we move on to the next bit? So if you're joining us for the next hour, we'll see you there. If not,
but.
I'll be